with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi, hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. Coming up later on this hour, in 15 minutes, we'll have our guy Thomas Gable, racing sportsbook director over at the Borgata. And then in 30 minutes, Jordan Schultz, NFL insider at the Score, will talk some free agency with us. So still got a lot to get to here through the first hour. But to start hour number two, before we get to our discussion on the AFC East, how about our buddy Will Hill? You talked about how he had Florida Atlantic in his final four.
And he's winning that contest,
but
right?
He won the contest. The Circa College Hoops Challenge. It is now over.
Oh, I thought Hill, I was going through.
Will Hill has won the contest. He went 27-17-1, 61% in the contest.
Nice job, Will. Will Hill,
sharp with the basket.
Sharp, but what's the payout on that one? Do we know?
I'm not sure what the prize is for Will Hill winning that one. Maybe he'll text us. I don't know if there's an under-the-table situation going on.
He can go to Roy Rogers, you know? He can go to Roy Rogers. That'd be perfect down on the
Most definitely. Oh, free cabana at Stadium Sim. That's what the prize is? Hell yeah, Will Hill. Well,
that's a pretty
good
deal.
Final Four weekend, I'll join you, buddy. I'll join you in that cabana.
Matt Eumanns has done such a great job putting those contests together. I mean, last year I loved following. Chris Felica won the football one. That was fun to follow. Yep. All those guys are in it. There was the elimination part of it. It was good. Now, I don't know how he's going to do it moving forward. Hockey, baseball, we're in the dark zone here now. I mean, golf.
Well, Will Hill, he loves the baseball as well.
Oh, he loves the baseball. He can't help himself.
Yeah, so maybe we'll have a diamond challenge or something going on. But yeah, shout out to Matt Eumanns and Derek Stevens putting that contest together. Will Hill was number one. Hoops Peterson was number two. And then a VSiN contributor and guest who you see across the network, Jim Root, ended up finishing number three. So that was the top three, the medalist for the Circa College Hoops Challenge. All right, let's talk some AFC East here, Michael.
Yeah.
And our fans out in Nesson, shout out to Boston. We see you guys. We love you guys. They are interested in what's going on in this division because right now the favorites, still the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not as big of a favorite as they were last year. Last year, this time, they were odds on favorite, like minus 200 or so to win that division. Now they're plus 125 because it's been an interesting kind of couple weeks here for Buffalo to where I don't know on paper if they've gotten better. But their division has gotten better with the Patriots, the Dolphins, and the Jets making moves. The Jets, we presumably believe, will be getting Aaron Rodgers at some point this offseason.
Yeah, they're going to get Aaron Rodgers. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think Aaron Rodgers is at the point where, like, this is a standoff, and everybody who has leverage, who doesn't, at the end of the day, you know, the Packers, they need to get some. They need to get compensation for them. And obviously the Jets need to get their starting quarterback. So, you know, he will be a Jet at some point.
Well, let me ask you this, though, because we always talk about how deadlines make deals. What's the deadline for this?
It has to be the draft, you know, because, I mean, like, look, the Packers want to use those draft picks in this year to make their team better. I would think they would want the 13th pick. And, look, they have Rodgers. You know, the Jets have Rodgers pretty well under contract. They have a renegotiated deal. They know what it's going to cost to move him there. So I don't think that's the issue. You know, the Jets just have to sit there and be patient. At some point, Green Bay is going to have to say, okay, look, we're going to sell the house, even though we're not getting what we want for it. There's no other buyers.
Obviously, the Rodgers move with the Jets is the biggest move in this division. That goes without saying. But what do you make of what Miami did? They traded for Jalen Ramsey a couple days before the new league year, and they've signed David Long, who we like as the linebacker. If he can stay healthy, he's a guy that can be really good for that Vic Fangio defense. What do you make of Miami's offseason so far?
Well, you know, to get Ramsey, Howard, they re-signed Howard, which was Xavier Howard to go along with Xavier, who hasn't played well in the last couple seasons, right? So that really will help Jalen Ramsey. They redid Howard's deal, so they can't really cut him. You know, they lost Byron Jones, who hasn't been able to play for them. So I think a lot of this is going to come down to their health, their ability to rush. But I thought the Long signing was really good. You know, they brought Armstead back. They redid his contract. There's a little always concern about this Miami offensive line, whether it's Austin Jackson at right tackle. Brendan Schell played a lot for him last year. Jackson was hurt. You know, we're always going to have Armstead always seems to get hurt. Yeah. So, and then, of course, the durability of their quarterback. There's a lot of things you like about Miami, but there's a lot of concerns about Miami, you know? And the coach doesn't really – he came in with this idea that he was this run game guru, and all he wants to do is throw passes, you know, and it puts a lot of pressure. And the offensive line is typically too soft, but they have one of the best receiving cores in football with Waddle and Tyreek Hill, who is unbelievable. They brought Morsett back. So, look, they'll be good. They lose Gesicki, who he didn't use anyway. I mean, he never really used Gesicki like you thought he would, because Gesicki isn't a tight end.
No.
Gesicki's a receiver. He's a big receiver. This is what the Patriots will do with him. The Patriots will line him up in the slot. They'll get him in the red zone. He'll be a big target. They'll never really ask him to block the point of attack. He'll block support, much like who? Travis Kelce does.
No, the Dolphins, that acquisition of Jalen Ramsey, who he's excited to be down there in Florida.
Well, sure, he got more money.
He got more money.
Everybody's excited when they get more money. You know, right? He wouldn't have been excited if he didn't get more money.
More money and no state income tax.
Yeah,
how about
of course,
that?
It's, yeah.
It's a little double up there for Jalen Ramsey, who said that this is the best group that he's been a part of in terms of a defense. Now, they haven't played any games together, but Ramsey,
I mean,
confident.
The best, better, who's better? Who's on this defense? Who's Aaron Donald?
There is none.
There isn't any Aaron Donald. No, so, I mean, that's kind of Yeah, look, but
secondary,
they're good.
Pretty good.
But I think with Vic there, you know, Siler's a really good power player inside. Wilkins did really good things for them. You know, Jalen Phillips can rush off the edge, and I think Long gives them a chance to be really fast. They got to get Bradley Chubb to stay healthy. That's a hard thing to do. Can they get a lot out? Because, look, the one thing about Stephen Ross and the owner of the Miami Dolphins, he put all his chips in the middle of the table. He's all in. There's no denying this. He's all in. And it's all going to come down to Tua. I really felt like they were going to be a player in the Lamar Jackson only because of the uncertainty with the concussions with Tua. But obviously they went ahead and paid Mike White a lot of money to be the backup.
Yeah, they feel like they're the most volatile team in that division, to where you could see if it all works out, they win 12, 13 games. You can also see it where they win 7 games because of injuries to Tua, Armstead, and the rest.
I think what you have in the AFC East is you have two owners in Ross and Woody Johnson that are desperate. They really are desperate. They're desperate to be relevant. They're desperate to be back in play. I mean, you could say the Patriots are desperate to be, you know, a back to where they were, Super Bowl contenders again. But I think, to me, there's a sense, there's difference between being courageous and desperate. I think these two teams are really desperate. And look, the Jets have a good team. When they get Rodgers, they'll be even better with Nathaniel Hackett. I think ultimately Miami can be a good team if, in fact, their quarterback can play effectively. And if they kind of change a little bit of pacing the game, it's going to be interesting to see how Vic handles, Fangio handles all the kind of, you know, when my man Mike McDaniels, when he's taking all these chances that are not really smart chances to take, how he handles that.
Put the defense in a little bit of a tough spot here. Let's talk about the Patriots, though, because when you look at the division odds, I mean, when's the last time you saw New England plus 750 to win the AFC East? They are by far the long shot to win this division. They hired Bill O'Brien to be the offensive coordinator after last year's disaster on offense. Signed Juju Smith-Schuster from the Kansas City Chiefs, 3 years, $33 million. Also picked up Mike Gesicki after they lost Jacoby Myers to the Raiders. What do you make of the Patriots offseason so far? And do you think this team can compete in this division where all three teams look like they're teams that could be in the playoffs?
Well, I think what the Patriots have to do is they've got to be able to handle the moving quarterback really well. I mean, when you go through their season last year, you know, the ridiculous play at the Raider game, which loses that game for them, right? You know, they had a lot of tough losses, the block punt, the Minnesota, all those. They're in a lot of games that they probably, you know, they lose to Chicago on Monday. That was the last time Chicago won. You know, those two games, they flip them. They're a playoff team. I think they're closer than people think. I think the number one thing for New England this offseason for Bill O'Brien and the entire is to get that offensive line to play at a higher level. They were not very good. Rhamondre Stevenson's a legitimate, legitimate player. I mean, he's big time. Everybody keeps talking about, oh, they need more skill. You know, they've got some good skill. You know, they bring in Juju Smith-Schuster. He'll be in the slot. They got Gesicki in the slot. They got Parker to play outside, who's a really good jump ball receiver on downfield. And they've got Thornton, who can take a huge step up next year. So I think they're really talented offensively. They've got to get Mac Jones to play better. There's no doubt about that. If he plays like he did as a rookie, they've got a chance. And then defensively, you know, they're going to need to get that corner situation handled. Bringing Jonathan Jones back was critical for them because Jonathan Jones can do a lot of things. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. They've got to get a size corner to kind of match up. They're not big enough in there, and they've got to continue to get faster. I thought actually re-signing Peppers, who I never was a huge fan of, but I thought Peppers playing down where they played him in the box, in that strong safety linebackers look, I thought he really helped them in terms of adjusting to the speed of the game and gave them a faster inside linebacking core.
Where are you at with the quarterback? Because there was a lot of talk throughout the season, it felt like, that Mac Jones is not liking what they're doing offensively. I mean, this talk went all the way back to training camp. People were talking about how Mac was not really happy with the situation with Josh coming out here to Las Vegas, and then it being the Patricia and Judge kind of show on offense there. Do you think that he can regroup and kind of rebound after having a little bit of a down year in his second?
Well, I think he's got to regroup, and I think what he's got to do is be who he is, right? Mac Jones is a smart player who's got to protect the football, who's got to be accurate, and you need yards after the catch receivers around them. Smith-Schuster's a better yards after the receiver catch than Jakobi Meyers is. Gesicki can catch and run with it. You know, so that's going to be the key for their offense, and he's got to play within himself. And then he's got to win back his teammates. You know, he's got to kind of go in there and be a good leader, not a negative leader. I think that's going to be a critical offseason for him. And they've got to get the right players around him. But it starts with their offensive line. I think they could use another defensive lineman. They need another defensive lineman to really help themselves. But I think they're trying to add players. They're improving their kicking game. They signed the board kid from Detroit. You know, they still don't have a kid. They don't have a punter yet. They lose their punter to Miami. So we'll see how that works out. But for me, you know, they've got to hit with this draft pick. Somebody's going to come in, especially at the corner position, that I think can make a difference.
This is the toughest division in football?
Well, if all the quarterbacks play well. You know, I mean, look, right now Josh Allen's the leader in the club, but we don't know about Tua, we don't know about Mac, and where is Mr. Rogers? Where is he? Murphy's holding him hostage.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Apparently it's going to be in East Rutherford. We just don't know when.
Yeah.
We'll find that out a little bit later, I'm sure maybe this week or in a couple of weeks or so. All right, we're going to welcome our buddy Thomas Gable on the other side, the Racing Sportsbook Director at the Borgata, to break down today's March Madness here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, including in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi. 15 minutes from now, our buddy Jordan Schultz, insider of The Score, will join us to talk some NFL free agency. But let's table the NFL and let's get back to the college hoops, because the madness tips off in about an hour. And to help us get ready for the madness, we bring in our buddy Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director over at the Borgata. TG, hope all is well. Hope everything has been exciting over there in Atlantic City with the bets. Let's start off, though, with Duke and Tennessee. This game will tip off 2:40 Eastern time, 11:40 Pacific. Blue Devils, 3.5-point favorites, total 126.5. This is a team that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. They're playing much better. They win the ACC tournament, and then they look terrific Thursday night against Oral Roberts. Are the bettors going back to the well with the Blue Devils?
Yeah, I'm just sure that they will. Duke's been an interesting story here because we know their defense has kind of really stepped up this year. That's been the story for them. And this Tennessee team, who seems to fall in these long stretches without scoring, it's going to be problematic. So, you know, losing their point guard, the Volunteers with Zakai Ziegler, it's a big deal for any team. But there's going to be only one way for Tennessee to win this game, and that's to play physical and turn this game into a rock fight. You know, Derek Lively, he's going to have to stay out of foul trouble for the Blue Devils. When you look at the splits on this game, I mean, I think the ticket splits are going to be overwhelmingly in favor of Duke. The public's going to be all over Duke here, laying the points. And it's not terribly surprising when you look at recent form. They have become our biggest liability to win the title here in just the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
We had them 2 weeks ago, 40-1, down to 28-1, and they are. We were sitting in pretty good shape on them just a few weeks ago. So everybody has kind of taken shots here at Duke in the futures pool. So Tennessee, it's interesting. We had one group that I do respect in terms of college basketball. They did take the points with Tennessee, but they're kind of sitting out there against the public here because it's basically an all public money on Duke so far.
All right, so yeah, you know, the South Jersey's kind of like, there's a lot of Dukies there. I mean, it's kind of interesting. Duke is kind of a national team.
Oh yeah,
you see a lot of Duke signs. You know, to me, it's all about what flag you post outside your house in New Jersey. There's a lot of Dukes there, don't you think? TG, they got a lot of support in the South Jersey area for sure.
They do. I mean, they're a national program, have been for decades, and I think even if people who are maybe in the Ocean City for the summer, they might be flying those Duke flags, even if they don't have any kids.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's talk about my team, the Arkansas Razorbacks. They have a huge challenge today against the number one Kansas Jayhawks. What's your thoughts on this game, TG? You give my Razorbacks a chance?
Don't tell me the truth. I think they can handle it, but I'm certainly leaning Kansas in this one. Kansas is, again, they have the target on their back in that region. I mean, the West, we said it when the brackets came out last Sunday, the West was going to be the toughest region to come out of, and Kansas did not have any favors given to them by that committee. And this is going to be kind of step one today. If they can get past Arkansas, then they have the winner of UConn and St. Mary's looming for them there in the Sweet 16. So I do like Kansas to get by here. I think if you can get 4.5 with Arkansas, I'd probably tend to lean taking the 4.5 with Arkansas, but I think Kansas does win this game and does advance.
Kansas has a tough road this year after having the red carpet rolled out to them last year with the committee giving them a favor. I don't know how the hell they got that bracket, but hey, they hung a banner and the rest is history. We're speaking with Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. Auburn and Houston is a really interesting game given the current status of Houston's key players. The Cougars, 5.5-point favorites, total 132, and what might be a road game here for the top seed in that region.
It really is. It really is a road game for Houston. Auburn is going to have a lot of support. I think there's going to be a home court advantage there for the Tigers. And the Marcus Sasser injury looms large over this game. He played 14 minutes in the first half against Northern Kentucky, didn't come back out on the floor at all in the second half. Now, in the broadcast, you had people saying he re-aggravated the groin injury. But yesterday, Kelvin Sampson was adamant he didn't re-injure himself. Sasser said yesterday he is definitely playing in this one. Shedd said he's also playing. But let's face it, I was on with Amal and Patrick on Thursday afternoon, and Amal and I both said there was no reason to play Sasser there against Northern Kentucky. But they tried him out there. And you know, whether he did or didn't re-aggravate an injury, he didn't look himself, and Houston did not look like themselves at all. That was one of their poorest performances of the year. I'd put that up there with the Temple game. It's, you know, they were turning the ball over. That was a team that they should have easily gotten past without even blinking an eye, and Northern Kentucky was in that game for the vast majority of it. So, you know, I think Auburn's going to be a very public dog here today. I think we're probably going to need Houston to cover this number.
You know, you're in Nittany Lion country there, TG. So, big win against the Aggies the other night. They played well, shot the ball really well. I mean, that was surprising. That game was over at halftime, and they did an incredible job. But today's a different story against the Longhorns. What's your thoughts?
Well, Penn State was a costly game for us the other night. That was one of our big losers that day. But different story here. Now, I was very impressed with the Nittany Lions' performance there. And let's face it, their march through the conference tournament, they came up a little bit short there in the championship game, but they have looked very, very good. Shrewsbury has done a tremendous job. Now, whether or not he remains there after the season, we'll see. But they're facing this Longhorn team where a lot of people are taking Texas to make it to the Final Four out of that Midwest region. So I think the local support will be here for Penn State. Michael, as you know, in college football, Penn State is always heavily bet here in Atlantic City. They have a lot of alumni in the region. We saw that in the the first round game of Penn State. They were very heavily bet. So I think we're going to get a lot of Penn State money. But again, Texas is not going to get ignored by the bettors here. Texas is a very, very good team, both offensively and defensively. The advanced metrics show they are certainly a team that's capable of getting to the Final Four just by their advanced stats there and how they play on both ends of the court.
TG, what do you make of the game between Northwestern and UCLA? Bruins 7-point favorites, total 126.5.
Yeah, game here, both teams with elite defenses. UCLA, a top two defense in the country. Northwestern, a top 20 defense. A lot of people are thinking this could be an ugly game with that really low point total there. It's already dropped a point from the opener, 127.5 down to 126.5. I do think UCLA should be able to score from the outside. Northwestern likes to pack the paint, not give up much around the rim. Obviously we know UCLA has lost their best defender for the season, but they're going to make do. This is a senior team. They're experienced. They've been here before. They have made deep runs. Now, Northwestern, they don't have this tournament experience so much. So we'll see if maybe some jitters catch up here with Northwestern. We did take a decent-sized bet from, again, the group that I respect here on College Hoops, plus the 7.5 here with Northwestern. So we'll see. This game tips off. It's one of the later ones tonight, 8:40 local time. But again, I think the public will be backing UCLA. But if you're giving me 7.5, I'm probably going to be taking Northwestern plus the 7.5 because I make this game closer to 6.
Real quick, we got 20 seconds left. Furman, San Diego State. Looks like the Paladins are getting bet here as we're about 30 minutes close to tip-off.
Yeah, I mean, the ticket count is pretty evenly split here. The money, though, is certainly going San Diego State's way. So right now, it looks like we're going to need Furman.
Oh, Furman with the magical win against Virginia. We'll see if they can do it against the Mountain West champions, which the Mountain West Conference, of course, it's been well documented. Not very good in the tournament, Mike.
Not very good. San Diego State broke it. They got through. So, maybe just one leads you to another. TG, thank you so much. Awesome work.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Awesome stuff there from our guy, Thomas.
I got to ask him about the Georgetown. You know, with Ed Cooley, Providence losing, that's supposed to happen. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll hit that tomorrow on the Lombardi Line. Coming up next, Jordan Schultz talking NFL free agency.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get everything you need to bet the madness this year for only $19. Our team is here to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets and tools like our exclusive betting splits. Sign up today to get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Femi Abebefe. We just had Thomas Gable on in the last segment. TG, always sharp with the college basketball. I believe he's on some CBI action today.
Yeah, you got to check the newsletter. Got to get the newsletter. See, he's been hot all year. I mean, if he would have entered that contest, I don't know if Will Hill would have won it. I mean, TG's pretty good, but Will Hill was hot, so we'll see.
TG, last weekend gave me a winner. It was on one of the conference tournament games, and it was an over. It was it was the Kent State. It was the MAC championship over.
Yeah.
And I played it and went out to dinner with my family because they were in town. I hadn't checked the score at all. Luckily, though, the restaurant had the game on, and it's like 20 points over the total. I was like, wow, TG.
That's an easy one. Pay for dinner. Pay for dinner. Yeah, why not? It's funny because, he takes those random games. He kind of spreads himself out. He loves it. He's a big Georgetown fan as well. Mm-hmm. Going to be interesting to see what Ed Cooley decides to do it from Providence. Does he go to Georgetown? Because that seems to be the guy that they want at Georgetown. We shall see. Does that mean Rick Pitino could go back to Providence? Is he going to go to St. John's? He's very close with the priest who's the head of St. John's, so that makes sense when you read that. It'll be, and then he's talking about how good his team is at Iona.
Yeah, no, I think Pitino, wherever he goes,
They're going to be good.
They're going to be good.
Yeah, that guy's a great coach.
I think he's like probably the best tournament coach that we have.
He's unbelievable.
He's really good. Obviously he has.
And he's got great enthusiasm at 70 years old. He's still kind of getting it, you know.
Still wants to coach and stuff. But yeah, his Iona Gales, unfortunately though, they couldn't get to the window for me. So nothing at the window. Maybe I'd use that money to.
They had it the first half. They just couldn't get it to you in the second half.
Yeah. First half, I was driving over to the Westgate, and I was like, "Oh, we're doing good." And I get there, I was like, "We're not doing good.
We're not doing good.
We're not doing good at all." We'll get to obviously the college basketball stuff and some of our bets in the next segment. Jordan Schultz is going to be joining us here momentarily here, but before Jordan hops on, what do you make of these guys? Some of these big name free agents that are out there still lingering as the well starts to dry up.
I think to me, what really it shows is that they can't get the deal they want. And at some point, the agents have to convince the players, this is the best we have. And ultimately, why this is I get fired time of the season for agents, because they went to the combine and they promised the players, this is what's out there in the market for you. And then now they don't have it. Like Gardner Johnson, he thought he's going to make $12, $14 million a year. He's having a hard time finding a job. Not that he can't get a job. He can't get his number, and he wants his number, and he's not a easy guy to kind of work with, so it's going to be challenging for him to see what he can do. So that's a guy out there. I mean, Zeke, I don't know if the Cowboys offered him a pay reduction or not, but, I mean, what's he going to make in the open market? They say Buffalo's interested. Singletary's a free agent, but does Zeke make Buffalo better? I think it makes him slower, actually. Oh. Especially considering the quarterback, you've got to defend him in the run game. And now if you don't have to worry about outside runs with Zeke, that makes it easier. I know everybody wants a power back. They want Jamal Williams to get 17 touchdowns for you. But Jamal Williams can get the edge. Yeah, I didn't think Zeke could.
Maybe from Buffalo's standpoint, because I feel like the knock on them for the last couple of years has been that they're not physical in the run game.
They're not.
Maybe they want that.
It's not a knock. It's a fact. They're not physical in the run game. A lot of it stems from their offensive line. It doesn't stem from the back. It stems from the ability to get movement in the run game, to create it, to work double teams, and to have a tight end. Knox is a good player, but he's not going to block anybody. And so when you're in spread all the time, it's hard for you to get movement in the run game. And then when your best runner is Josh Allen running, whether it's quarterback counter, whether it's quarterback power, whether it's quarterback draw, that becomes harder too.
I think what we're learning here is that the running back market is not quite.
Nobody's paying for it. Yeah. Nobody. And it's going to be interesting to see how that translates into the draft. Right. Robinson from Texas, everybody's talking about, but nobody paid for running backs. I mean, that's what makes the Giants putting the tag on Barkley so hard to believe, because it's different. And we got Jordan Schultz. We should ask him about that.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it with Jordan Schultz. He is an NFL insider over at The Score, joining us now to discuss the happenings from the first week in the free agency. Jordan, hope all is well. We were just talking about some of these big-name guys who can't find contracts as of right now. What's the latest on some of these names like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who's a free agent for the Eagles, led the league in interceptions but still out there on the open market?
Yeah, Gardner-Johnson's interesting because Philly wants to bring him back, and obviously I think he would like to be back, but they're trying to find a number that works for both sides. And, I heard he wanted somewhere in that 16 range, and I just don't know if he's going to get it from the Eagles. And when it comes down to that defense and what he was able to do last year, Jonathan Gannon leaned on him a lot. They got him before the season in August from New Orleans, and I think they anticipated that had things gone well, they would extend him, and I know they want to, but they haven't been able to get on the same page from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, the $16 million isn't out there. One thing about free agency is we enter 5-6 days past it. You're either getting 16 on day one or you're not getting it. You're either getting your number on the day first or you're not going to get it. Odell Beckham makes a lot of news, Jordan, because of his name. And even though he hasn't been a great player in the last 3 years, he still has name appeal. What have you heard about him? I just saw someone mention that he told Joe Schein from the Giants to call his number to get him going. What have you heard about Odell?
Yeah, so the teams that I've been told were in on him were Dallas, Baltimore, and Kansas City, and potentially the Jets. And so, the Giants just don't. I don't know how they can do it now, given that they just paid Paris, they just paid Slayton. Obviously, they paid Daniel. I don't see that being realistic financially. I think Kansas City, Baltimore, those are teams that make sense.
the Ravens would love to add him because, you know, they still haven't they haven't been able to find, you know, that top tier wide receiver that Lamar Jackson has needed. And I think Bateman could be it. Duvernay had a really good year, speed guy. Obviously, they have the two really good tight ends. And we still don't really know what's going to happen with Lamar. But in terms of Odell, those were the three or four teams. You know, the Jets, another fascinating one, because obviously they still have Corey Davis's contract on the books. We'll see if they release him. They have a lot of really good talent. You know, Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson, the two running backs. But if you add Odell Beckham to Aaron Rodgers potentially, I mean, Mike, come on, that's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, but I mean, is Odell any good anymore? I mean, it's a great name appeal. That's the thing, Jordan. I mean, how good is he? I mean, we haven't seen him. We don't know what he's coming back off a second ACL. You know, 5 years ago, you had Odell Beckham with Aaron Rodgers, and I'm okay. We're really in good shape. I think Corey Davis, you know, because he's got $10.5 million coming to him for the Jets, I think there's no doubt that he's on the chopping block. And when they get him, they'll get huge cap relief. I think he's the guy that they're going to maneuver out of there when they bring Rodgers back onto the team, which eventually will get done. What have you heard about Zeke? Where have you heard he's going? There's talk about Buffalo.
Buffalo makes a lot of sense. You know, they can't imagine that they bring back Devin Singletary. Another one that's interesting to me is Tampa Bay, because he could reunite with his running backs coach who he was with in Dallas and he has a great relationship with. You know, Zeke, I couldn't believe it. He's only 27 years old. You know, I know he's a Cowboys legend. Obviously, they moved on. And I'm sure that both sides felt like it was maybe for the best. But, Mike, you tell me, I'm not saying that he is the all-pro caliber running back he was his first couple years, but is he still – it seems to me like he's still a pretty valuable player to have on your team.
You know, he is. I always thought he should be used more in the passing game because he's got great hands and he's got great run after the catch, obviously, because he's a running back. But it just doesn't seem like they worked him in there, even though, you know, his first 2 years in the league when Scott Linehan was the coordinator, he was averaging over 10 yards a catch. So, you know, a lot of it's going to depend upon his offseason. But this I do know, Jordan, is he's a really hard worker. And he's the first guy in the building. He's a big leader on that Cowboy team. That they're going to miss his leadership in that locker room.
They are. Yeah, and he's also great in pass protection. I was talking to a scout about this, and, you know, this is way beyond my pay grade in terms of analysis. I'm just, you know, not able – I don't know how to, like, break down a running back pass protection. But he was telling me this guy, even at his age, you know, having been in the league a few years, he still provides a lot of value from that standpoint as well. So I'd be interested to see where he goes. I think Buffalo and Tampa make a lot of sense for Zeke.
Hey, Jordan, we got about 20 seconds left here. The Rodgers and the Packers and the Jets situation, when do you think that gets resolved ultimately with Rodgers wanting to play in New York?
Oh, I think it's going to be soon. You know, it's just, it comes down to compensation, getting on the same page in terms of both sides feeling good about it. You know, obviously, he wants to be there. I think he will be here. It's going to be, I just can't wait to see it. I mean, I don't know if he's Aaron Rodgers 5 years ago, but he's still freaking discount double check.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah. Four-time MVP. The Jets, man, a lot of buzz with this Jets team. A lot of buzz with the Giants.
You're going to see the Jets on a lot of national TV. Five times you're going to see the Jets. Get those uniforms ready.
Start spreading the news. He is Jordan Schultz.
Thank you,
Jordan. NFL insider over at The Score. Great stuff, Jordan.
All right, we'll wrap up the show on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Playing a trip to Vegas? You should. You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com per terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, where it's the calm before the storm right now. College basketball, March Madness about to tip off in roughly 30 minutes. This place is going to be packed.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Stadium was, what's the weather going to be like today? So stadium. I mean, I saw a picture of the stadium.
Mid-60s, I believe.
Yeah, it'll be stadium swim. Watch out.
Yeah, I was not at stadium swim, but I was up above so I could see down on it. And it was Thursday. Place was just packed.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's place to watch all the games.
Yeah, imagine that, being in the pool, sipping a cocktail while watching basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
What a life. I mean,
it
honestly.
Good. Doesn't get any better than that. Yeah.
Thank you to our four guests, though, throughout the show. Tim Murray of the College Basketball Betting Podcast and host of VSiN Primetime. He was on earlier. He's at Disneyland. We're hoping
he's
he cheers
line
up
right
a little
now,
bit later.
Waiting on a ride, I'm sure.
He's got to get the fast pass. That's the pro tip for Tim Murray. Get you a fast pass at Disney. Carl Jig-Jag Johnson, sportsbook director over at the Beau Rivage. Thank you to Thomas Gable, sportsbook director at the Borgata. And thank you to Jordan Schultz, who joined us in the last segment, NFL Insider at the Score. And speaking of a pro tip, and it's something that we talked about with Thomas Gable, be aware of the venue.
Yeah.
Before you're making these bets, because like Houston, you might see that they're number one seed, they're favored, but they're going to be playing a road game down there in Alabama.
Yeah, but I think to me, this is also about the coach, right? I think Kevin Sampson's team he's pretty demanding on them, and they are a mentally tough team. I really feel that way. And I know they've had some injuries, and I know they didn't play their best game the other night, but to me, they are mentally tough. And Auburn will have their fans in the stand. There's no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, mental toughness wins to get to the Sweet 16. That's what it's going to take. Arkansas, it's going to take them to play a consistent game. They have to avoid losing before they win if they're going to beat Kansas. Something at Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas is one of those teams where when you watch them, like against A&M, they've lost twice to A&M this year. They had leads up until the last 3 minutes of the game against A&M, so they can't do that. But I agree. I think mental toughness is what determines who wins on the road.
Make sure you
and I think Houston has it. I really
they
do.
They do. Yeah, they're a tough team. Kelvin Sampson, really good tournament coach. I think they'll be ready to play, although maybe a little shorthanded. We'll see the status of Marcus Sasser, their lead guard there for the Cougars. But that was our pro tip for the show. Make sure you see all of our pro tips across the network at vsin.com/tips. Michael, in the last segment, before we get to the college hoop stuff to wrap up the show, we were talking about Odell Beckham Jr. Well,
yeah.
Maybe Odell Beckham Jr. is listening. Maybe he's a fan of the Lombardi Line, or perhaps a fan of the GM Shuffle. We'll talk about him on Monday.
Yeah.
Odell tweeted just moments ago, "I'm just so confused where the quote is from me that said I want 20, crying a face emoji. All I'm saying is that 4 isn't enough."
Right. Well, that's the problem, right? I mean, nobody's going to pay him 4. I mean, obviously somebody offered him 4, and no one's paying him 20. No one's going to pay him 10. I mean, if he's going to get any contract, it would be 4 plus incentives. I mean, nobody knows what they're getting into. I mean, what Jordan said, well, watching him and Aaron Rodgers would be great. That's the problem most NFL fans have, is they have remember when conversations. Oh, he was great at one time. We don't know if he's great anymore. Remember all this hoopla when Bobby Wagner left Seattle and went to the Rams? Oh my gosh, Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner, I still see him on these boards on websites that he's a top free agent out there. No, he's not. He was at one time. He was a great player. It's just not anymore. It's okay. We all get old and we all can't do what we once did. It happens. You know, and so that's the cycle of the NFL, is some young player takes over for you who's cheaper. Because fans don't look at the contract and the player. You know, would we want Gardner Johnson on our team? Yeah, led the league, all that.
Yeah.
Right. But how much can we pay him? The Eagles are one of the lowest team in cap room right now. Now, you can pay whatever you want, but you still have to put – they have two number one picks they have to put into their draft pool. So, which this is what you want to do. I think it's all kind of has to tie together. So, the market out there is not there. You can't create a market. And for wide receivers – the longer this goes, there'll be some receiver drafted that you say, oh, wait a minute, I got to get that. There's no sense in signing Beckham. We got this young kid.
So did you watch the Beckham little Arizona highlight?
I did not see that yet, no.
He looked all right. I mean, now he's going up against air. So
right, but that's
he's a professional
point.
Athlete.
But
so
see, to me, if
good.
You weren't wowed by that, if you didn't just get wowed in the workout, that's going to bother you. Because you know, here's the problem when you sign older players. do they look, that's the best they're going to look when you get them. When you put wear and tear on their body, they don't look that good as you go through the season. And so if you're Buffalo and you need Beckham to really play for you, you know, then it's going to, and he's not what he needs to be in December when you need him the most, that's a problem. I mean, look, they cut Isaiah McKenzie.
Yeah.
I mean, McKenzie was a good player for him 2 years ago, kind of made, gave him that run late in the slot. Now they're back looking for a slot receiver again, but they're tied up with the cap.
I mean, McKenzie's probably why they let Beasley go.
No doubt. And he was playing well.
And then they had to bring Beasley back.
Because McKenzie just couldn't handle the role. I mean, that's what happens, too, in free agency is you think a guy can play extended minutes, you think he can handle a bigger role, and then you find out he can't.
Kevin Byard is a former All-Pro safety for the Tennessee Titans. And right now, he's been asked to take a pay cut.
We said that on the pot. We said that on GM Shuffle. To what, 10 days ago?
Yeah. That, I mean, well, you know how the aggregators...
I mean, it's unbelievable. Listen to the shuffle. It's good.
You know what? One thing, I hope the aggregators at least review. You know, at least rate the pod, review the pod if you're going to steal from the pod.
Yeah.
That would be appreciated.
It would be. But here's the situation is that he's making 14. He's got 2 years at $14 million, and that's $28 million. He doesn't want to take a pay cut. Obviously, he thinks there's a market out there. Rand Carthon, the general manager of the Tennessee Titans, is probably saying to himself, look, there's no market out there for a safety at $14 million. If I cut you, you're not going to get $14 million on the market. So the agent has to be very delicate here of balancing, okay, if we don't take a pay cut, where are we going? Okay, Zeke, where are we going if we didn't take a pay cut from Dallas? What can we make? Darius Slay was out there looking for a trade. Couldn't find a trade partner. Couldn't find a new contract. Couldn't find what he wanted. He ends up getting cut. They redo the deal, and he comes back to Philadelphia. So, you know, those are the kind of things you have to be very meticulous in understanding how this is all going to play out. You can't fall in love with a certain player.
Now, Byard, I would imagine that there would be interest from contending teams because he's 29 years old, so he's creeping up on the age of 30 there. But, I mean, he's played every single game in his NFL career. He's never missed a game. So he's been durable at a position to where sometimes injuries can creep up with you at safety here. Last season, 4 interceptions, 5 interceptions in 2021. I mean, he has 27 career picks. This is a player, seems like he's a good leader, 2-time All-Pro. Like, if the Titans were to cut him, I don't know if there's going to be a mass haul of people trying to run to go get him, but I feel like there'd be a little interest.
Well, there definitely would be, but how much at $14 million? That's the question. I want the guy. I don't want him at $14 million. I take 10. Okay, so if you'll pay 10, do you have $10 million? Do you $10 million on a 1 year deal, on a 2 year deal, you're paying 20? Yeah, how are you gonna work the deal? How are you structuring that into it? You know, and so you get in there and there's always a decline of a player once he gets to that 30 number. I think Baird's a really good player. I think he's one of the best players they have on Tennessee's team.
Yeah.
I'm sure Mike Vrabel doesn't want to lose him. However, that being said, you know, 14 million, they need the cap room. They need it. They need a quarterback, they need the cap room. They haven't done anything with Tannehill yet. Could they, you know, they should be a player for Lamar Jackson, but they're not because they're stuck in this cap situation. I think what you're seeing is teams that have been stuck. Tampa, to me, I think Tampa's a team to bet the under right now. I don't care what they do moving forward, bet the under. I don't care. Baker Mayfield, that team is not going to win. And not because I don't like Todd Bowles or the offensive staff or any of that. It's because of the way they're set up and they've spent so much money over the last 3 years, they're going to have to pay the piper.
Yeah.
And so they're going to start to have to do that. And the injuries last year affected them. So if you look at the South, I would say whatever number comes, I'd be shocked if Tampa's number is higher than 7.5.
Oh, yeah, I'd be stunned. I think right now there's a long shot to win that division. I think the market is very sour on the Buccaneers. Before we get out of here, though, Michael, I have one bet in college hoops today so far.
Yeah.
Might add a little bit to the card later on. But I'm going with the must bus. I'm going with
Are you
going to
jump on the must bus?
Forget the points. I took the money line. I think Arkansas wins the game. And I think this is one of those situations to where it's either Arkansas wins or you
they
see Kansas cover. Yes.
Yeah, they get
exactly.
I mean,
they
I think to me, that if, to me, this is all about can Arkansas avoid losing? Because if Arkansas plays smart, and that's hard to say, because I watch them play, they don't play smart all the time.
Maybe they will today.
Yeah, maybe they will.
if they play smart today, they're going to advance in the tournament. I think Arkansas can get to the Final Four. They could be this year's North Carolina 8 seed that has a lot of talent that makes a run. We'll see what happens. We'll be back tomorrow with the GM Shuffle. But coming up next, it's The Handle with Matt Brown and Dave Ross here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.